This is Todd Wright, and this is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. You do not need to live nor work nor have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon, Florida, to reach out to Brandon Legal Group for a free consult. 844-4-BLG-4ME. Huge sponsors of the Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, including the Todd Wright Tour golf hats that we will be giving away at the Todd Wright Tour Championship coming up on June 22nd at the Quarry Course at Black Diamond Ranch. Brandon Legal Group, 844-4-BLG-4ME. The Todd Wright Toddcast is also presented by Pin Chasers. And I've been telling all those of you who are in the Tampa Bay area and looking for summer camp options about Pin Chasers for quite a while. And I experienced a little bit of that activity visiting the Midtown location today at 4847 North Armenia, just seeing how many people were at Pin Chasers for summer camp and beyond just summer camp, just afternoon visits from other youth groups. Those summer camps, you can log on to pinchasers.net. There's also a phone number you can call. Hang on, 813-871-2695, 813-871-2695. For those of you that don't have a need for summer camps for the little ones and you just want to get out and do some bowling on your own, how about Bone Bowling Night? Every Wednesday night, and in particular at the Midtown location, Drew Garabo, my friend and golf partner from Drew Garabo Live on 102.5 The Bone, is bowling out there, making an appearance. It's unlimited bowling at $10.99 per person from 9 p.m. to close, and Yuengling drafts are just $1. That's right, $1. 9 p.m. to close, Bone Bowling Night, Wednesday nights at the Midtown location, which is 4847 North Armenia. Of note, two other Pin Chasers locations. Veterans is 5555 West Hillsboro, and East Pasco is 6816 Gale Boulevard. Speaking of my golf partner, Drew Garabo, I do not play in my own golf events. Anyone who runs a golf event and plays in it, they're not running it the right way because it doesn't allow you to take care of your players and run the event properly if you're going to go out on the golf course and just play on your own. So I do not play, so therefore Drew Garabo needs a new partner for the Todd Wright Tour Championship at Black Diamond. My tournament sold out weeks ago. This is our biggest field ever, our best golf course ever, maybe our best value ever, but it's been sold out. The only spot available is to play with Drew Garabo in the Todd Wright Tour Championship. And the bidding on this is underway. It benefits the Apple a Day Foundation, which is the charity basically run by the Drew Garabo Live show. Seth Kushner, Seth's wife, Drew Garabo, very heavily involved. John Senning, very heavily involved, etc. And 102.5 The Bone. They provide iPads for children fighting pediatric cancer around the Tampa Bay area. If you want the last spot in the tournament and basically a great mandate with Drew Garabo, 4+ hours of golf on a fantastic golf course, and raise money for charity Apple a Day, you can either email me, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com, or just listen to 102.5 The Bone between the hours of 2 and 6 p.m. on weekdays, and call in and ask how you can get involved with the bidding on this item. The bidding will be closed at their fundraiser, their prom event, Friday night at Nova 535 in downtown St. Petersburg, but the bidding is currently open for golf in my tournament with Drew Garabo to benefit the Apple a Day Foundation. Just going to bounce around a little bit on this edition of the Toddcast to a few various things. One thing that I'll rarely talk about in the Toddcast, but I love comparing things in sports to something else, especially when it's a sport that I don't want to say that I have no interest in, that I just have marginal interest in, but one I've watched for much of my life and even played at times in my life, and that is the sport of tennis. Tennis just completed its French Open. That is its second major on the calendar. The four majors in tennis are the Australian Open, played late January. Then the French Open was just completed. We will have Wimbledon in a few weeks. And then the United States Open Tennis Tournament in New York will be played around the Labor Day weekend, roughly. So those are the four tennis majors. Men's tennis in particular has been dominated by three players now for some time, in no particular order, although I'm going to give you the order of how many majors they have actually won: Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, and Novak Djokovic. I believe combined, they've won 53 major championships, including Rafael Nadal's win, again, on the clay at the French Open over the weekend. So specific to Nadal, one thing that I thought was significant enough to bring up in this forum, even for those of you that know who Nadal is, respect anyone who wins that many majors. Let's take it a step further, though, with Rafael Nadal at the French Open. This is a major tennis championship. A major tennis championship. It is played once every year, and virtually every player in men's or women's tennis wants to win it. Rafael Nadal has not only won this event 12 times now in his career, but the step further that I want to compare to other sports is Nadal's actual win-loss record at the French Open. In matches at the French Open, Rafael Nadal is now 93-2. 93 wins, 2 losses. All right, so the 12 majors, I think that's somewhat numbing, right? It's impressive, but now let's take it to the level of head-to-head matches. Nadal's played 95 singles matches lifetime at the French Open. He's 93-2. So I will be rooting for Rafael Nadal in 50 weeks at next year's French Open, probably more passionately than I would otherwise care about the fortunes of any particular men's or women's tennis player in a major championship, simply for this reason. There are 128 men who participate in the singles event at the French Open. That's how many get in, 128. So it takes you 7 wins to win the championship. So let's do the math. If Nadal returns next year and wins again, the championship win will be his 100th victory at the French Open. His 93-2, as it currently stands, would become next year, with a 13th championship, his record would become 100-2. 100 wins, 2 losses. Now let's just take the 93-2 for what it is. 100 is obviously a round number and just jumps off the page at me. Since he won that match on Sunday, late afternoon Paris time, late morning United States Eastern Standard Time, I've been thinking about what else in sports impresses me more. than going 93-2 in something, which basically means of the 95 times career, this isn't just a sample size. This is his career at a major championship. From the first moment he ever stepped on the clay to right now, at a major, he's played 95 matches. He's won 93 of them. So what else compares? Is there anything else you can come up with, individually or team-wise, that compares to 93-2? Again, for a career and in something as significant as a major championship, where you've played 95 times and you've won 93. If you come up with something, I'd like to hear it. I'm not saying there are any right answers. I'm not saying there are any wrong answers, but there are many wrong answers that some will come up with. I just think it's a wonderful thing to think about, and it's very difficult for me over the past few days to find anything that I can compare to it. It's not perfect like the 72 Dolphins, but the 72 Dolphins played 17 games, not 95. It's not perfect like the 76 Indiana Hoosiers, an overlooked major sports accomplishment, the perfect season of Indiana in 1976. Still, they didn't play 95 times. It was all within one season, never lost start to finish, but still roughly what, one-third of the contest that Nadal has played lifetime at the French Open. So I can't come up with anything. So I open it up to those of you who want to think about this and compare it to other major sports. Not high school sports, and don't reach to sports that wouldn't click the box of what the mainstream considers major competition, which would be the National Football League, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the National Hockey League, Major Championship Tennis, men's and women's, Major Championship Golf for the men. So if you're immediately propping up Tiger Woods, it's not there. For as dominant for a time as Woods was, he has no place where career-wise he has had the success from start to finish that Nadal has had at the French Open. It's not there. We'll get more to Tiger Woods here in a moment. Even NASCAR, I don't think there's anything there. Even if you're going to go back to the Richard Petty days, I just don't think it is there. But let me know what you think. I'm just that dazzled that one individual at one major championship career has played 95 times and has a record of 93-2. And again, if he can win the championship next year at the French Open, he has the nice round number and gets to 100 wins against two losses at the French. And if you're wondering, well, who are the two who beat him? It's not even Federer. Djokovic got him once, and Söderling got him once. I'm glad I brought this up on Gil Alexander's show on VEASAN, on Numbers Game earlier today, where I make regular appearances and very much enjoy my appearances on A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander. Please tune in. Speaking of Tiger Woods, The U.S. Open, as I speak to you right now, will begin in a little less than 48 hours at the famous Pebble Beach Golf Links in Northern California. The United States Open, I believe this is the sixth time it has been staged there. Pebble Beach annually hosts the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. The course plays different. I won't go snob on you on why it plays different, but it will play different than it did when Phil Mickelson won earlier this year. Last year, a guy named Ted Potter Jr. Somehow distanced himself by a few strokes beyond Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, and Jason Day to win out there. And as the U.S. Open Championship begins, two names stand out, and that's Tiger Woods and Brooks Koepka. And you have a huge amount of people rooting for Tiger Woods, and then you have the cynics who don't want to see Brooks Koepka get in the way of Tiger Woods winning and or get so far out in front where it's not competitive on the weekend the way some rooted against him at Bethpage Black at the PGA Championship. Brooks Koepka does not care what you think, that he does not have the fan base of Tiger Woods. He doesn't. Perhaps the chip on Koepka's shoulder is bigger than just about anybody else, perhaps in all of major championship men's golf. And it has helped push him to wins in half of the last eight majors where he's put a peg in the ground on the first tee on Thursday. Half. Four out of eight. Not Nadal land, but still, when you're winning 50% of the major championships, basically over a two-year run, Brooks Koepka is not only the two-time reigning United States Open champion, he is also the two-time reigning PGA champion. So Koepka and Woods should be considered your top two in this event. And there are other names that I can easily argue can win this tournament or be competitive in this tournament. Names you've probably heard of like Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Francesco Molinari, the reigning Open champion, and maybe, just maybe, even though recent history for him in the United States Open is not top 25 in most cases, the career runner-up at the U.S. Open that is Phil Mickelson, still looking for his first United States Open championship and the career Grand Slam, Phil did win at Pebble Beach earlier this year. The golf course will play different, but clearly Phil knows his way around it with his course history, just the way Tiger Woods knows his way around that golf course, and there are others. But Mickelson also stands out, and as a long shot, I would say Shane Lowry is someone who might be around come Sunday as well, at least on the first page of the leaderboard. The reason why I bring up the United States Open and the Major Golf Championship this week is while many of you are rooting for Tiger Woods, there's something else that I'm rooting for as it relates to the United States Open Golf Championship, and that's the Golden State Warriors. So now you're wondering really where this is going. Okay. Very rarely these days in sports do major sports events collide. I'm not saying it never happens, but it rarely happens. Let's walk through some of the bigger ones. On Super Bowl Sunday, come 6 p.m. that night, roughly a half hour or so before we kick off the Super Bowl. Is there any other sporting event taking place? No. There really isn't any significant television event taking place at that time. That's the best example. But now let's work through some others. The Masters, the most watched golf event in the United States. I'm not going to say in the world, because I would imagine that those in England this year, Ireland, Northern Ireland, may watch their home Open Championship more than they watch the Masters, even though Tiger Woods is the reigning now Masters champion again. But still, the point being that against the Masters coverage on Sunday, what other sporting events are going on? So yeah, you may have some Sunday afternoon day baseball, but that's baseball plays every day. So even they know, this past year especially, unless people already have their tickets to the game, they're watching the Masters. There's not a convergence of, and I wouldn't call any regular season baseball game, sorry, Greg, sorry, Mark, I wouldn't call any regular season baseball game a major sporting event. Opening day? Eh. Game 162, if the winner moves on and the loser is out? Maybe. But let's take it another step to the last couple weeks, where we've had the Stanley Cup Finals between Boston and St. Louis, and we've had the NBA Finals with Toronto and Golden State. Have you noticed? They do not play on the same night. They do not oppose each other. Heck, they even seemingly skip over each other in various ways. One playing one night, one playing another night, then there's a night neither of them play. So you would say, oh, well, then the next night, you know they're both playing. No, they don't do that. Why? Because the leagues work it out. Is it because they share a television partner? No. But the television networks also are aware of this. There's clearly a bigger audience for the NBA nationally than there is for the National Hockey League. But the television partners, they're smart. They don't want to make people choose. So they're respectful of the conflict. And you get that with most major sporting events, which brings me to my point about why I'm rooting for the Golden State Warriors, who just forced the game six last night with a one-point victory in Toronto against the Raptors. So on Thursday night, Golden State will host Game 6 of the NBA Finals. They're down 3-2 to Toronto. Golden State wins that game. We will go a seventh game that will be played in Toronto on Sunday night. So then let's say Tiger Woods is either on the leaderboard or leading the United States Open later this week. Ironically played in the fan base of the Golden State Warriors. That's just a coincidence here. And let's say Tiger Woods is in position to win a second major championship this year and his 16th overall. And we know nothing moves the needle more on sports television, with sports fans and non-sports fans, than Tiger Woods winning a major golf championship. The last thing to move the needle this much was Michael Jordan winning NBA titles. And prior to that, in various ways, beyond just television ratings, was Muhammad Ali fighting major fights. Those three have moved the needle the most in sports the last 50 years. So if Tiger Woods is in contention or leading outright going into Sunday at the United States Open, these two major sporting events will be directly up against one another. And it's very rare that that happens anymore. You will have Game 7 of the NBA Finals being played in Toronto in prime time at the same time that Tiger Woods will be attempting to win the United States Open Golf Championship. And if you're saying, well, wait a minute, it's golf. It'll be done by no later than 7 o'clock Eastern time. That's what golf always does. No. No, you're wrong. Because Fox threw so much money at the United States Golf Association years ago to get this contract. They want the primetime television advertising money and the ratings that come with it. And guess what? Because they're playing in California, the sun doesn't go down until significantly later. So check your programming guides, because Tiger Woods will be playing golf at the same time in this scenario that the Raptors and the Warriors will be playing for the NBA title. That's why I'm rooting for the Warriors in Game 6, just to get this very rare conflict of major sporting events on competing networks at the exact same time. That's just me. The Todd Wright Toddcast is also presented by Wentworth Golf Club. Wentworth Golf Club successfully hosted both Todd Wright Tour 15 and Todd Wright Tour 19 just last month. Jesse Pratt is the general manager at Wentworth Golf Club, and I am a big fan of Jesse Pratt. I enjoy working with him on my golf events, and Jesse Pratt also is offering those of you in the area of Wentworth Golf Club a tremendous deal if you just want to hit a lot of golf balls in the span of 1 month. It's a player development membership that includes unlimited range balls, unlimited walking the course after 3 p.m. It's just a $10 cart fee after 3 p.m. There also are free golf lessons with clinics on Wednesday and Saturday, and there are other perks with this package. It's only $49 per month, and you can call the golf shop for more details about the player development membership, 727-942-4760, 727-942-4760, Wentworth Golf Club. Thanks also to Brandon Legal Group, 844-4BLG for me. Call for a free consult anytime. Brandon Legal Group, full service law firm, and my friends at Pin Chasers. Pin Chasers, of course, with summer camps throughout the next couple of months at all three locations, Zephyr Hills, Midtown, and Veterans, or visit pinchasers.net for more details. I appreciate you listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast, and we'll talk to you next time.